I don't think I would have been able to launch this company as fast as I did if it were not for the pandemic. And I had complete control over my time. And just being able to follow my nose on what I wanted to research, what I needed to learn about, who I needed to call. And I just got it done so fast. But it wasn't me who was doing it. I keep saying this, when you're in a flow state, it's coming through you from somewhere else. And that's really the feeling that I had most of the time through formulation.
I'm Patrick J. McGinnis, and I coined the term FOMO. That's short for fear of missing out, and it's why some people end up following the crowd when they should be blazing a trail of their own. But if you want to achieve greatness in business and life, you've got to break free. Come on, I'll show you how. This is FOMO Sapiens, where we explore how entrepreneurial thinkers find the inspiration and the courage to build exceptional lives. FOMO. Welcome to another episode of FOMO Sapiens, the show for entrepreneurial thinkers. And today, we're talking to a real entrepreneurial thinker and somebody who knows how to take big swings. Her name is Raina Kumra, and she's the founder of Spicewell, which is a really interesting company. Have you ever thought that salt and pepper could be better for you? If you haven't, then you haven't heard of Spicewell. I have tried the product. I have made lentil soup with the product, and I have to say, I like it. Raina, who is the founder, is concurrently an early stage technology investor with the fund, the founder of Spicewell, which is a functional foods company, and the CEO of Juggernaut, a digital and organizational transformation bureau helping organizations be more human. Wow, that is a lot. She's a FOMO sapiens par excellence, and she's going to tell us all about it. So this is the interview today. It's a great story for anybody who just is like sees a problem and wants to start a company to solve it, because that's exactly what Raina did in the comfort of her home during the pandemic. We're going to talk about all of that. So let's jump right in. As you know, I like to start every interview with the same question. So I started by asking Raina this. Tell me something unexpected you learned about yourself that changed everything.
Well, that is not an easy question, but I will do my best to answer it. I think recently and a long time ago, I learned about myself that I am such a creature of habit. And actually, I believe for someone who takes and makes a lot of changes, I always need a foundation. And that was one thing that really, really changed everything. It changed my outlook. The other thing that's related to that is once I have those foundations in place of how I start my day and how I end my day, everything else, all my other powers get stronger. And I mean powers by manifestation. So those two things are related. One is the underpinning, and the other is I realized I'm a total manifester when I can get myself in a flow state.
That's very good. And you know what's interesting is I'm relating to you because I'm, you know, people know me. I do a lot of different things, but I have these like very ritualistic things that I do every day. I'm very much a creature of habit in some ways. And like, I love that. I think it creates simplicity. It's like cognitive overload goes down. Mm-hmm. And if they're healthy habits, like, for example, using a better for you salt and pepper in your food, then you're going to win. Now, that's a great answer. And I think it's giving us a sense of who you are as a person. I was, you know, I just read your bio out in the intro, and I got a little kick when I read your bio, because, you know, you kind of like, it's not often that one reads a bio and it's like, list three jobs. Upfront, a tech investor with the fund, founder of Spicewell, CEO of Juggernaut. I just want to let you tell us about like what's going on there.
why so many? Why yeah. So many lifetimes on my LinkedIn? I think from a very young age, I was very perplexed with how to make one choice. Even, you know, going to get ice cream, like there's 31 flavors. How do I choose one? It was very difficult for me. So I found a way to just choose and then choose again and choose again and realize that if I make a choice once, I can still change. Not that changing jobs is as easy as changing ice cream flavor choices, but I found a way to make it work for me because I just had this insatiable desire to try everything that resonated with me. And because so many things in my career were things I had always wondered about, I had always felt like kernel of I would be really good at, or I would have something to contribute to. I was just compelled to make those transitions. Now, that none of them were easy, but I have now figured out a science of transitioning my career, at least. And I think that could be helpful to others.
How the heck did you survive corporate life with that kind of think about? I mean, because you and I are a lot alike. Like, I survived corporate life because I was focused exclusively on learning and money. And I worked at a big company and this is a different time. People didn't really do. And when you're in your 20s, you know, it's like easier to just buckle down. But yeah, like now I look at it, I'm like, oh, like oh, it's kind of interesting. I don't know how I kind of did that. What was your secret?
I know now I'm spoiled. I don't know if I could ever go back. But I think starting young was definitely part of it. And really kind of falling into that role of I'm going to do my best within this container that I have put myself in. And I'm going to take it as far as I can take it. And then I'm going to go find the next thing. And so for me, it was never, oh, I'm going to start this job and I'm going to be in finance for 10 years. I'm going to be in advertising for 25 years. I just was committed to a 2 to 4 year maximum for anything that I signed up for. And that's how I survived, because there was always a horizon. There was never this sort of endless path. And growing up South Asian, I was supposed to be a doctor or a lawyer or something very traditional and boring.
Yeah.
And it was very hard to break away and do something that was not that. Yet I knew I still had to fulfill some obligations of being, you know, financially sound.
All right. So it's funny. We had the founder of ClassPass on, who's also South Asian. And that was her story. Like, she worked at Bain & Company and started ClassPass on the side. And basically was like, that was the deal that she kind of struck with herself and sort of enabled to explain that to her parents and everything. So it is, we are oftentimes, because of context, where we make choices that are a little different, but it ends up being very much the way that it's very personalized to us. Now, you've started this new company called Spicewell, and we met through a two-time guest of the show, one of our FOMO Sapiens superstars, Sunil Gupta, and I heard about you, and then, you know, you were kind enough to send me some samples of your salt and pepper, and, you know, I've been using them, and I was captivated by the packaging, and I was just like, this woman is cool. So I wanted you to come and tell us about what you're doing, because, you know, it's like if I were to meet you 10 years ago and you were to be, and I tell you, you're going to be running a salt and pepper company 10 years down the line, I don't think that would have been, you would have been like,
I would have been like, get out of town. That's never
exactly
going to happen. Starting a food business.
But you are.
Yeah, it was never on the plan. It was never on any of the vision boards, I promise. But I'll go back to Payal, who I love, and Sunil, who I love. And both of, you know, just growing up South Asian, you are allowed to do things. You're not allowed to do anything, but then you're allowed to do things for yourself, very small, that will eventually grow into other careers. And I think there's a small sect of us who have all done the not traditional role, and that is growing and growing for South Asians. And I'd love to see it.
Nice.
But I don't know. I think that there's a line with salt and pepper that is very funny, because I was always in tech. I was always doing something digital. I was always basically working with pixels and bits. And then I switched to Atoms, and it was such a learning process of like operations, logistics, packaging, and moving things around and working with ingredients. And at one point I looked at my husband, I had just placed an 8,000 pound order for pepper. And I was like, what am I doing?
FOMO.
Tell me if this sounds familiar. Your business gets to a certain size and the cracks start to emerge. Things you used to do in a day are taking a week. You don't have one source of truth. If this is you, you should know these three numbers: 37,000, 25, 1. 37,000. That's the number of businesses which have upgraded to NetSuite by Oracle.
25. NetSuite turns 25 this year. Happy birthday. That's 25 years of helping businesses do more with less, close the books in days, not weeks, and drive down costs. One, because your business is one of a kind, so you get a customized solution for all of your KPIs. Those are key performance indicators in one efficient system. Now, FOMO Sapiens, you know the show is all about making better decisions. And with this product, you can make better decisions because you have all the information you need right in one place. Right now, download NetSuite's popular KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance absolutely free at netsuite.com/FOMO. That's netsuite.com/FOMO to get your own KPI checklist. Because you know what? KPIs are better than ice cream. netsuite.com/FOMO. Tudo bem, meus queridos FOMO Sapiens? Now that right there was Portuguese. And as you know, I love speaking foreign languages. But I'm not alone. One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off that list with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Now, FOMO Sapiens, you know I speak four languages, and it takes work to stay on top of them, especially with French. C'est difficile. But with Babbel, I'm able to practice practical conversations that I can actually use in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/FOMO. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/FOMO. That's spelled BABBEL.com/FOMO. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yeah. So talk about why, like, how did you come to this business idea? Cause you know, so many folks out there want to start a company and yet the idea, it's always like really tough to come up with the idea. So how did you come up with this idea?
Okay. So the mission and the idea kind of came together at the same time. The first was circumstantial. It's the middle of the pandemic. My husband had knee surgery, so I just brought him home from the hospital, and we're, you know, focused on his recovery, reducing inflammation. I already had tons of turmeric tinctures and drinks ready for him. And then the next morning, my daughter broke her collarbone, and I had a 5-year-old and a 40-something-year-old, one in bed, could not get up upstairs, one in bed who could not get up downstairs. So I was doing everything for them, all the meals, all the snacks, all the hydration. And I was really focused. I dropped everything else I was doing. I was really focused on how do we heal them with every single bite? And nothing goes in their system that isn't going to functionally bring them better health, healing, you know, nerves, muscles, bones, tendons, whatever. And I did a lot of research, and a lot of those things are vitamins, and that's what your cells need to heal. And surprise, surprise, those are in vegetables. And I just kind of dehydrated the kale from our garden and the broccoli from our garden. And I sprinkled that powder onto everything that they were eating. I used a ton of Ayurveda, a lot of principles, a lot of spices and herbs and roots, and they did get better very fast. And we didn't use any over-the-counter medicine. The first day we did, and then we tossed all the bottles and didn't use anything.
Wow.
And they just healed incredibly fast. All of their systems together, their digestive system and all of the other things we were trying to heal, were in great shape, which means your brain's in great shape, which means your mood's in great shape. And their doctors were really surprised. And then I came back to the kitchen, didn't think of no company at this point, no prospect. And I was like, you know, there's something here. If I can heal my family, perhaps I can help other families. And at the same time, I was doing research on nutrition, and 94% of Americans have a nutrient deficiency. That nutrient deficiency is the doorway to chronic illness. Those chronic illness issues are the doorway to spending and spending and spending $3.7 trillion on pharmaceuticals. And that handshake between big food and big pharma just pissed me off. And I think once I saw that, you cannot unsee. You cannot unsee. I had just never looked. I had just never looked into food as a place to start a movement. And I just...
The drugstore sells the bad food. You go to like... I'm not going to say the name because I won't get sued. They're selling you all the junk, and then you go out back and get your Lipitor, right? Or your Ozempic or whatever.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And I started to finally read ingredient labels for the first time in my life. And I was horrified. I was like, what is this? Why am I feeding this to my children? And I pulled everything out of our pantry. I restarted with real foods and I got very, very stringent. And you can do that at home. Everyone, you know, once in a while, you do a big cleanup. January is a great time for a lot of people to do their detoxes and resets. But I wanted to do it permanently, and I wanted to do it for the entire American food system and change that standard American diet, that sad diet, to something that had more nutrients in it. And I was looking for a Trojan horse to do that. And the perfect vehicle was actually right under my nose. It was salt and pepper. And I had tried a couple of different, I tried a broth, I tried all sorts of things. But salt and pepper is something everyone uses, requires no learning, no habit change. And I was really focused on no habit change. Even as a creature of habit, I wanted to make sure that I wasn't forcing people to adopt a new habit when using this product.
It is a habit. I mean, people do it. They just reflexively put salt and pepper on the food. I do not, by the way.
Yes, you're different.
I don't know. As a kid, I just never. But I grew up at a table where like peppers on everything, right? So I know that that world. Now, okay, so that's great. You figure out your intervention, but like, you know, let's think about this industry. So the salt industry, there's a couple of huge players like Morton's. There's Diamond something or other. I mean, you have these massive players. Yeah, owned by Cargill, one of the largest private companies in the world. I mean, I have to imagine as you started to look into this, it's interesting because you have these big, when you innovate and the big ones, you know, it's like they don't have any reason to try to innovate. So there is an opportunity there. But I imagine that a lot of people you talked to were like, oh my goodness, like that, you know, why are you taking this on? I mean, you know, there's huge players in this. So what was your approach to differentiate yourself? And how did you figure out like the formulation you wanted to use?
Okay. So first, is the salt is clean. This salt is clean of any toxic heavy metals, any chemicals, any of these sort of additives that are added to typical table salt. Typical table salt, while people think is an innocuous ingredient, is actually not. It has 2 to 3 industrial byproducts in it that are there for anti-caking so it doesn't clump, because salt is very hydroscopic, so it will, you know, bring in a lot of moisture and clump. And the other thing is that there's other agents in there for appearance. They're bleached. So our salt is a golden color. Our salt is in a regular color. And it's sometimes.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was like, what is going on with the salt? It's so colorful. I didn't know that was supposed to look like. What? Okay.
That's what salt is supposed to look like. It's not supposed to necessarily be just pure white and uniform grains.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring something that was clean label, but then I also wanted to add functionality to it. So I wanted to add 10% of your daily vitamins. I initially started with 50%, but the flavor of the vegetables was way too apparent. So we just had to bring all of that down. And the 10% gives you 21 vitamins and minerals from 12 organic vegetables, which, by the way, a lot of people didn't know when I was initially doing this research that vitamins came from vegetables. So that's where we are as a society today.
I actually don't know that. I'm like, wow, newsflash. Good to know.
I'm so glad for this PSA. Anyways, we were really focused on creating something that was cleaner, better, and tasted better. And I actually believe our salt tastes better than most table salt out there. So you've got all the benefits, you've got things added to it, you've gotten things taken out of it, and that's what really sets us apart. Plus, we're the only Ayurvedic brand on the market, and we were formulated with one of the best Ayurvedic doctors in India. He treats all the Bollywood stars, Dr. Shailendra Chaubey. He's amazing, and he and I walk through in Ayurveda, there's actually 6 types of salt. And they have different heat levels. And pink Himalayan salt is actually the coolest salt. And salt in Ayurveda, the whole purpose of it is to fire up your appetite. That is the purpose of salt for humans, is to make you eat.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, you're just coming at me with lots of information today.
It's responsible for like 600 cellular functions. Like, we really need sodium.
Okay. So I love that. that you found this combination to distinguish yourself. How, but like, you're not a salt scientist. You are now.
I am now.
Yeah,
I was
you were not.
I'm getting there.
You were not a chemist. You're getting there. But like, how does one, say like tomorrow I want to start a salt company, and like, how did you figure it out? Like, who do you call to figure those things out?
So I got very lucky in the beginning. I stumbled upon the right research. I had time because of the pandemic to just spend a lot of time reading and educating myself and learning. I had this Ayurvedic doctor in India who I was really working with, and learning as much as I could about, you know, what's the best salt, what's the best pepper formulation, why are certain combinations of vegetables good, why are certain combinations bad or, you know, less effective. And that's how we sort of landed on our pepper turmeric blend and why we pick the specific vegetables that are in that blend. And same with the salt. And the salt has a tiny bit of ashwagandha. And to your earlier question, Ayurveda is the science of life or knowledge of life. And it, the other shorthand way I use to explain it is it's yoga for eating and medicine and beauty.
FOMO. FOMO.
You figure that out. You get the formulation, but you're obviously, you don't have a salt mine and you've got to actually make the product. How do you do that? I mean, what was your process there?
That was the hardest part. And, you know, you were kind of going into an unknown world. You know, I'm not a lifer in this industry. I had to meet a lot of people. I had to talk to a lot of people. I made friends with a lot of food scientists. And I think, again, it was just luck. I found the right source at the right time who happened to have the exact right salt in the quantity I needed and also in the quality that I was looking for, because I double lab tested everything. So they sent me their lab results. I took it to another lab. I found a lab. In a way, I'll say like all my nerding out on this is fulfilling, as close as I'm ever going to get to being a doctor for my, I loved it. I loved the formulation process. I loved the science of it. I did very, very well at AP biology, so I could have been.
I did too, actually. I only got a 4, but you probably got a 5, but
I don't know. I don't remember. But I, for sure, there was something that woke up inside of me that was just obsessed with understanding molecules and understanding chemical composition and understanding the joining of how the pepper and turmeric work in your system and how it works for your cells. And how do you use the osmosis in salt to bring in more vitamins and help absorbability? And I just loved it. I just fell in love with it. It was the most fun I think I've had in self-education ever.
You know what's funny is we started this conversation with you telling me you couldn't choose the ice cream flavor, and you know, and now you're telling me that you were able to make, I mean, think about the decisions on a formulation where you have all these different vegetables, vitamins, blah, blah, blah. Like, that is way harder than choosing ice cream. What do you think made it different for you that you were able to be so decisive? Or is it just that it took 3 years?
It didn't take 3 years. It was very fast. It was 6 months. And I'll tell you why, because there was that flow state. There was absolutely that flow state. Again, the pandemic, having my habits and no other interruptions, that was very helpful. But I don't think I would have been able to launch this company as fast as I did if it were not for the pandemic. And I had complete control over my time. And
thanks,
I was
COVID.
Constantly, I know, I hate to say it, but I was constantly in a flow state. Yeah, I really did. Yes. And just being able to follow my nose on what I wanted to research, what I needed to learn about, who I needed to call. And I just got it done so fast. But it wasn't me who was doing it. I keep saying this, when you're in a flow state, it's coming through you from somewhere else. And that's really the feeling that I had most of the time through formulation.
That's very cool. It's kind of like when I write my books and I get a little stuck, I go to do a yoga class and I'm like in Warrior 2 and the thing that I've been trying to figure out comes to me right there. Cause that flow state, Like, it's all inside. All the things you, as an entrepreneur, everything you need to do is already inside of you, right? Of course, it has to be. But it's more about like figuring out like how to grab it or summon it or whatever. You know, you don't want to grab it and hurt it. You want to, you know, take care of it. But but it's like, how do you allow that to come to the surface? And yeah, focus. And for, you know, you're a FOMO sapiens. You have three jobs, for goodness sakes. Like, so having that ability to focus on one thing for a period of time gets you there. Now, I do want to ask you, before we get to lightning round, tell us about where the business is today. What are you currently focusing on, and where can we find the product?
Yes. So we're going to be in 250 stores in a matter of 2 weeks. We're in the Fresh Market, which is the first time I've told anyone that. So you get the news here first. So we'll be across 22 states from Chicago to Florida on the East Coast. And we're also in Gelson's on the West Coast, Erewhon, and a number of smaller retailers in New York, including the Goods Mart. Erewhon. Yes.
Love Erewhon. Yes, and if you're in New York City and you're on Lafayette in Soho, the Goods Mart, I popped in, I saw the product, and you'll notice the product because of its distinctive packaging. It's very, how would you describe it?
It's very pop art. I collaborated with a very super talented surface designer, and I love design. You know, one of my former lifetimes was as a designer, and you know, as I moved through all my stages of FOMO of career, I brought this design thing along with me into Spicewell.
Yeah, when you open up the cabinet, because I used it last night to make lentil soup. Rena sent me some, which I have been enjoying. And when I open up the cabinet, it's kind of whimsical for a product that is not sexy, which is like a staple, but not, you know, it's like usually you got the little cute girl on there. What's her name? From Morton Salt, which I like her too. She's great. But this feels, I don't know, it's fun. And it's thoughtful design. And I think so many times when we go to the spice rack, it's either very like the really like boring or like industrial looking or whatever. You've taken and you brought something new into it. So it's very cool to check out if you guys go to the website or whatever. Now I want to hit you with my lightning round questions. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right, let's go. Number one, what is a favorite quote?
It's a quote from my dad. And he said to me that you do not have to choose what you want to be as long as you do something along the way. And that was when I was 12.
Like be a doctor.
Yeah. Like, you don't have to choose as long as you do something.
That's nice. I like that. Okay. Number two, name one book every FOMO sapiens should read.
Atomic Habits. I never had that one before. Oh, you have read it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
But nobody's ever said that either, and it's so popular. Okay, that's a good one.
So it's the number one book right now. That's great. But I think the way the world is and with what people want to do and human potential, I think habits are a good thing to look at for personal growth, especially if you're a FOMO sapien, especially if you want to do many things.
James like Clear, if you're listening, come on our show. Come talk with me. Maybe we'll get James on the show. Anybody know James? If you're listening, you know James. Make the intro. Okay, number three. What's one piece of advice you give to your younger self?
Don't let the bastards drag you down.
Yeah,
that was
so true.
I think I spent many years both in self-criticism and being hypersensitive to criticism or, you know, perceived criticism even when there was none. Sensitive people, we got to have a shell.
Yeah, there's haters out there, but sometimes the real hater, like the worst hater of all, is the one that you project upon yourself.
That's right.
I mean, 100%. It's a very good point. Final one, what's your most important memory?
My most important memory. Okay, this is going to sound weird. I have a memory of a dream, a recurring dream I had as a child, in early childhood. And that was me in outer space looking out on Earth and in some sort of a bubble. I don't know why, but I always think of that. And that has always been a part of my psyche.
Wow. It's so much better than my recurring dream, which is that I'm in high school and I have a math exam, but I haven't even gone to class yet.
I've had that dream. Which, that's stressful.
That is not a fun one. And then you wake up and you're like, thank God that's not happening. Anyway. Okay. So if you want to find out more about Spicewell, you can head over to the website. You can find them on Instagram at Spicewell. If you want to follow Rina, you can find her on Instagram at Kumatronic.
Yeah.
Rina Kumra, founder of Spicewell and just all around FOMO Sapiens. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
FOMO.
If you like today's show, please be sure to rate it and recommend it to your friends. And as always, you can find me on Instagram at Patrick J. McGinnis, on Twitter at PJ McGinnis, and on the web at FOMOSapiens.com or PatrickMcGinnis.com, where you can get all kinds of free resources to live a more decisive and entrepreneurial life. FOMO Sapiens is recorded in New York City. Theme music is by Mike McGinnis, and editing and post-production is by Josh Elstro. If you like today's show, please be sure to rate it and recommend it to your friends. And as always, you can find me at FOMOSapiens.com and at PatrickMcGinnis.com. To advertise on FOMO Sapiens, reach out to contact@FOMOSapiens.com.